This is the Reading Instruction Show. I am your host, the Jolly One, the Happy One, Dr. Andy Johnson. The topic of today's podcast is an excerpt from a book I'm working on called Understanding the Science of Reading, Context Matters. It will be published by Guilford and out sometime in 25. Today's topic, we're looking at just science and research in talking about the science of research. Now, let's look at science first. The philosophy of science is beyond the scope of this book or podcast. Suffice to say, though, that people have widely differing views here. My goal in this podcast is to bring just a little more clarity to some important and often misunderstood terms, science, and research. And in doing so, I hope to move the needle just a little bit in helping you to become more critical consumers of educational research. So let's start by trying to understand science and scientists. Science is both a noun and a verb. It is a noun when it refers to a field or a system of knowledge within a particular area such as physics, chemistry, or zoology. It's a verb when it refers to the processes used to develop that system of knowledge called research. Who then is a scientist? That term is sometimes used to refer to a person with great knowledge in a field of science. It's also sometimes used to denote somebody doing research in a field of science. But sometimes, sadly, the term scientist is misused to project the illusion of precision, objectivity, trust, and certainty. For example, scientists tell us that. Scientists have discovered that. Scientists now believe that. Sciences have determined that. And scientists have shown that. Any statement that begins with the term scientists and followed by a declarative statement can be said to be technically true for two reasons. First, there is no standard definition of a scientist. What exactly is a scientist? Who is a scientist? Do you need to have a license to be a scientist? Do you even need to have expertise in the area that you're doing your sciencing in? And second, all you need is two. You could find two scientists who believe something outrageous and still be technically true in saying that scientists tell us that. Scientists tell us that dinosaurs didn't exist. Scientists have discovered that the moon landing was a hoax. Scientists now believe that the FBI is sending killer death rays through our TV sets. Scientists have determined that all children need extensive phonics instruction and a predetermined sequence of skills followed by practice using these skills with decodable texts. Scientists have shown that letters, professional development for teachers, will result in enhanced reading achievement for children. Scientists have proven that whole language is a hoax. Scientists now tell us that the teaching of the three cueing system is causing reading scores to plummet. Scientists believe that the massive reading crisis is caused by balanced literacy and meaning-based instruction. Now, since you could find at least two people who call themselves scientists who ascribe to any of the statements I just made, all of these statements are technically true. However, all they really tell us is that A, two or more people said something, and B, these people identified themselves as being scientists. The lesson here is that anytime someone writes or says, scientists say that, or research shows that, without citing a source or making their sources available in some form, that person should be deemed a clown. And a clown is one who purports to have great knowledge when, in fact, they have little. Now let's turn to understanding research. Science's verb denotes a process used by scientists to understand our world. This process is called research. And at its most basic level, research is the process of asking questions, collecting data, and using that data to answer those questions. However, as described in an earlier chapter or podcast, while collecting data is one part of research, it is not research in and of itself. For research to be research, there must be certain conditions in place. I'll describe 8. 1. The question or area of inquiry is defined up front. 2. The process used to collect data is recognized and approved by the larger scientific community. This community-approved process is called a method or a research method. 3. The data collecting process is systematic. That means there is a plan in place before the research project begins as to what data to collect, how often, and from whom. It's not simply your impression of an experience. 4. The data collected are analyzed and presented as results or findings. 5. Logical inferences, explanations, or conclusions are made based on the data collected and only on the data collected. 6. The method is described in such a way that another person could repeat the process. 7. The study is subjected to blind peer review. And 8. The researcher does not have a stake in the outcome. Now, I'm going to give you a non-example of research. Let us pretend that I conducted a research study where I asked people to tell me stories about reading instruction. They'd tell me things and I'd write these things down. This would be data. But what if I only wrote down the things that would create a sensational story? What if I only interviewed people who had a certain story to tell? What if I only interviewed a certain type of people, or a small number of people, or only people who agreed with me? What if I purposefully excluded things that would disrupt the narrative I was trying to create? Would that be research? No, that would be a radio documentary. But what if I wrote down what a few people told me and said it was true of a lot of people? What if I included decontextualized factoids to illustrate the stories that people told me? And what if I decided to call myself an expert in the things I wrote down because I wrote them down? And what if I used the fame I got from writing things down to make a lot of money? What would that be? That would be irresponsible and self-serving. Okay, what if I used a systematic process to collect data and that systematic process was approved by a specific scientific community? And what if I decided exactly, if I described exactly how I collected my data and from whom so that someone could replicate exactly what I did? Would that be research? And no, research is not research unless or until it has been subjected to some form of blind peer review. Now, there are two kinds of research, basic and applied. Basic research is that which is done apart from the setting in which it's used. In reading, basic research includes research focusing on brain imaging, eye movement, miscue analysis, and priming studies. This kind of research is a critical component in adding to our understanding of things and building theories. In the case of reading instruction, applied research has been essential in helping us to understand the processes the brain uses to create meaning with print or to read. Applied research is that which is done in the type of setting in which it will ultimately be used. In the case of reading instruction, it's the research conducted in classrooms. According to the science of reading, this is the only kind of research that should be used to design programs or make policy decisions. Now, this means that a lot of very important research is ignored. This results in the very narrow and distorted view of reading and reading instruction that's used to make science of reading policies. Now, applied research in any field is essential. However, if this is the only type of research used to understand phenomena, the likely impact will be misunderstanding the phenomena being viewed. So let's take a look at methods of science. Now, research is the unbiased, systematic observation or experiments used in science. Methods, on the other hand, denotes how the data are collected in research. The method used in science to collect and analyze data is known as the research method, the scientific method, or the method of science. And contrary to common assumptions, there is no such thing as the method of science or the scientific method. Rather, there are methods of science, meaning that a wide variety of scientific methods are used to study the unknown, including reading instruction. Now, these methods tend to be put in two broad categories, quantitative research and qualitative research, and a very brief description of each is provided here. In quantitative research, sometimes called experimental research, the researcher takes an active role in setting up an observation or experiment in order to isolate a variable. A variable is the quality or condition about which the researcher wants to draw conclusions. The goal of experimental research is to figure out the effect that one thing, an independent variable or treatment, might have on another, the dependent variable or measure. In order to demonstrate a causal relationship, the researcher creates a controlled environment that isolates a particular variable by controlling all the other variables around it. The researcher wants to be able to say with great confidence that one thing caused another thing to occur. Quantitative research uses numbers to reach a state of knowing. The questions are stated up front, and only data related to the research questions are observed and recorded. A cause and effect paradigm is used to make sense of the world. Now, the other broad category, and I'm just giving a broad description, is qualitative research methods. In qualitative research, the researcher takes the world as it is. It doesn't try to manipulate conditions in order to isolate variables. Qualitative research instead uses some type of systematic observation in order to reach an understanding of phenomena. Here, the questions are more open-ended and less defined, with plenty of room to collect a variety of data through collateral observations. Think of Joan Goodall sitting in the middle of a bunch of gorillas taking notes. This is qualitative research. She's studying gorillas in their natural environment, in their natural setting. Her research helps us understand how real gorillas react to and interact with phenomena in the real world. Now picture Brian Camborn sitting in a kindergarten class taking notes. He's doing the same. Both Jane and Brian are able to get to things that controlled experimental research simply cannot. They're able to see a bigger picture in terms of interacting and interdependent systems. Both Jane and Brian describe causal factors, but with a much deeper understanding of the causes and the effects. And both help us understand that gorillas and children in jungles and classrooms are wonderfully unique and unstandardized entities. Common qualitative research designs include ethnographies, case study, grounded theory, phenomenology, action research, narrative research, and historical studies. Qualitative research methods include interviews, focus groups, observations, and document analysis. So, the final word here. Science uses a variety of unbiased systematic observations and experimentation called research. Research is a way of seeing reality. It's a procedure used to view and review the world in order to understand it. The research method is the lens used by the researcher through which the world is viewed. Different lenses provide different views of reality. Controlled experimental research is able to look deeply at a small bit of controlled reality. In contrast, qualitative research provides a much broader lens to observe a more real world. One type of research method or design is not better than the other. Both are necessary to get a complete understanding of phenomena. Using either one exclusively is going to give you a distorted picture of reality. But here's the thing. The research method should be determined by the questions being asked. In contrast, the science of reading movement has determined that only a single type of research methodology can be used to ask and answer questions in the field of education, and they have ironically labeled this as scientifically based research. The irony of this is captured by P. David Pearson in one of the greatest quotes ever regarding science, research, and reading. He said, quote, "Regarding science, my fundamental claim is that reading research can never be truly rigorous, indeed truly scientific, unless and until it privileges all of the empirical and theoretical methodologies that describe the scientific disciplines," unquote. So, this conversation will continue in the next chapter and podcast, where I will provide an understanding of reading and the science of reading. This has been the Reading Instruction Show. I am your host, Dr. Andy Johnson.